Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. And today we are going all the way to Israel to interview Sarah Goldsmith, who is a tourism manager for an incredibly interesting kibbutz in the Beit Shan Valley. And it's a company, it's actually an organization, it's also called BioTour. And reading the article, which is going to appear in the Jewish Action in the spring of 2013, I'm sure it's the kind of thing everyone is definitely going to want to read. Very interesting. So, Sarah, how are you today?
Baruch Hashem, no complaints. How are you all?
That is great. We are doing just fine. And read the article. Really interesting, unbelievably interesting. First of all, tell everybody a little bit about the Beit Shan Valley. And, I mean, I've been there. I'm sure a lot of people have. But kind of describe it to us. And where exactly is it?
Okay, well, the Beit Shan Valley, first of all, is no longer called the Beit Shan Valley, actually.
Okay, I'm sorry I said
that. The regional council changed the name here a few years ago. We're now officially called the Valley of Springs.
Okay,
and the reason for this is because we are blessed with a lot of natural springs in this region. Some of them are very famous. Maybe you've heard of the Sachna or Gan HaShlosha.
Sure, of course.
It's the most famous one here in the area. But there's a lot of natural springs, a lot of water. And it's a beautiful part of Israel, not so well known as the Galil and the Golan, but we're on the way up north. If you're coming from Jerusalem, we're just off Route 90 and south of Beit Shan, and it stretches also all the way to the Gilboa Mountains as well. So this is
okay.
This is our valley. And it's there's lots of things to do and see in this area, so it's worth doing the detour.
Okay, good. No, I mean, it sounds interesting. So, but it's really old. It really goes back, reading a little bit about the history. I mean, it gets back to almost like 1939.
Our kibbutz was founded in 1939, but there are kibbutzim here that are older than that. But yes, the Jewish settlements here have been around since the late 1920s, early 1930s, yes.
And I guess what makes it kind of unique also that these were religious kibbutzim, correct?
Not only, we have the largest group of religious kibbutzim in this area. I suppose the second largest gush would probably be in Gush Etzion, south of Jerusalem. Here we have in a row, we're three in a row on the same road, Einon Atziv, Stelial, and Tiret Zvi. And across the road we have Shluchot. And then up on the mountain on the Gilboa, there's another two religious kibbutzim, Meirav and Male Gilboa. So there's six religious kibbutzim in one area. So, yes, that's quite unique.
Basically, it's really an agricultural community, which was what led to the development of this whole concept of the BioTour and what's going on, correct?
Correct, yes. Stelial is pretty unusual that everything we do is basically connected to agriculture. And even our tourism is tourism that we didn't start because, you know, we had empty houses and we opened up a bed and breakfast or something like that. But people were just really curious about what we were doing in our farm. And so to enable people to come and to make it more organized, we started BioTours. And the tours themselves are also centered around agriculture, around farming, around the kibbutz. So it's something very, very different, you know, off the beaten track, and a real eye-opener for a lot of people who didn't know, you know, what all this entails and how does it connect to Judaism, and it all fits together very well.
Yeah, no question about it. But it seems to me that, you know, reading the article, that I guess one of the challenges was that you were finding out that you had all these pesticides because you had to get rid of the pests, okay? And you came up with a unique approach to say, let's go back to nature, let's go back to the way Hashem created the world. And, you know, he had a system that worked. And why don't we try to replicate that if we can? Is that more or less correct?
You can put it that way. It's always down to nature. You know, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he has a plan, and he knows much better than the rest of us what to do. And nature, when left on its own, it has its own solutions. And we were just, you know, we just had to learn from nature what works and how to develop it. That's the tricky bit. We started the organic farming in Israel. That was the thrust of it. Organic farming in Israel, you know, is relatively new. Most Israelis, even 10 years ago, didn't know what organic was. It's just taking off here. And we've been doing organic farming for over 40 years on Staleo. Again, very much connected to Torah and to Jewish values of preserving the environment and taking care of our health and taking care of everything around us. And once we started the organic farming, then, of course, like you said, the problem arose, well, then how do we get rid of the pests? And just we went back to nature and looked for the natural predators of the pests in nature. And so our factory was born, which is called BioBee Industries, which is one of the leaders today.
BioBee Industries, okay.
Yes, BioBee Industries is one of the world leaders today in biological pest control solutions, and we also have bumblebees for pollination, thus the bee in the name, and the daughter company, which is BioFly, we actually have a fly factory on our campus as well, as bizarre as that sounds.
So what you're doing is you're producing the bee, the bumblebee, that naturally will, you know, be part of the process of nature, eliminating some of the insects, or
There's three different branches of the factory. One is the bees. The bees are used for pollination. They're not
They're pollination. Okay, good. Okay.
They're for pollination, as opposed to manual pollination, which is a lot of farmers had to use manual pollination. You know, workers to manually pollinate the flowers of their crops. Today, the bees do the work instead. And we have biological pest control, which are natural predators of the pests in agriculture. So instead of spraying harmful chemicals, we will release or disperse what we call beneficial insects, who then eat the bugs that are eating your crop, basically.
Right. Okay, good. Right. Okay.
And the flies, it's biological pest control for a specific pest in agriculture called the Mediterranean fruit fly. And what we're doing here, instead of using the natural enemy of this fly, we're actually using the fly itself, which is kind of cool. it's all very high-tech. High-tech, but very simple at the same time.
Now, are other people, let's say, other places in the world doing this, or is this unique to what you're doing?
No. Well, let's put it in several different compartments. If we take the flies, for instance, it's something called SIT, which stands for Sterile Insect Technique, and this is something that exists around the world. In fact, the largest company in the world is a United States company that belongs to the USDA. And they've been doing the technology there for over 50 years already. And other places in the world as well where they have such an SIT facility, it is a government-run, government-owned facility. We are the first private company in the world to deal with SIT, which is quite unique. And as far as biological pest control is concerned, also there are other companies in the world that deal with biological pest control. What we're trying to do is stay on top, and in the meantime, we're managing to do that. We're in the top four companies in the world, so that's pretty impressive for a small religious kibbutz in the middle of the Valley of Springs.
That is extremely impressive, unbelievable, really, really incredible. And I was reading about how you. You export 8 different species of biological control agents, plus pollinating bumblebees, the 32 nations from Japan to Chile.
Mm-hmm.
Very, 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 very fascinating. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. So on the tour, we you know, this is just one subject that we talk about on the tour. There's a lot of things to see on the kibbutz and in the fields and lots of cool stuff.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit because, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, our listening audience, thank God, goes to Israel quite often, probably more than almost any other group. And they're always looking for new things, you know. And so let's talk a little bit about the ages of the people who should really come to this. I mean, is there a particular age where it's most, you know, effective or not?
Well, our tours, we mostly work with groups, with organized groups. We do get a lot of families or small groups, like an individuals who want to come and want to see it. And we will accept groups like that. It's called a private tour. If it's less than 12 people, it's a private tour.
Okay.
So we do family tours. We do tours for adults. We do tours for students. We do tours for professionals. Really, we adapt the tour to suit what people want to put the focus on. And, of course, depending on the age of the children. We don't charge for children under the age of five because the tour really isn't geared for under age of five. It's a very informative tour. You can say it's a very educational tour, but it's done in a fun way that's interactive, and the kids have a good time as well as the adults. And like you say, you know, these are people who've been to Israel before and they're looking for something different. You know, we've already been to that museum and we've already been to that archaeological dig and we've already been here
right,
there.
Right.
So this is something really different. And I think a lot of people are curious as to kibbutz as well. You know, kibbutz is also something that's unfortunately kind of disappearing. A lot of kibbutzim today are undergoing privatization and changing and evolving, and they're no longer the traditional kibbutz structures that they used to be. And we're still a kibbutz.
yours is still a kibbutz.
Yeah.
So what does that actually mean? It means that everybody eats together?
Yes, we have a central dining room. We have three meals a day in the dining room. We have a communal laundry. We don't get a salary. It doesn't matter what you do on kibbutz. You know, we all pitch in and do our best. And the idea of kibbutz, that's the idea, is that everybody works to the best of their ability. And in return, they receive according to their need. So,
Oh, really? Okay, so now here, obviously you've got a business, which it sounds like it's pretty successful, right?
We're doing okay. It's still early years. We've still got a ways to go, but we're working on it.
Okay, so you have a business, and the business does well then. So how does it work? How many families live on the kibbutz?
We have about 160 families on kibbutz, households, but that's not the population. That's just, you know, the families, households. Members, we have about 270 members. That's people who can vote. Again, not the population. And we have a lot of kids. And we also have a lot of temporary groups that come through here. We have a Ulpan program here, a Hebrew language program. It's one of the oldest in the country. It's over 40 years old. We have a Beit Midrash here for post-Army graduates. After the Army service, they come in the morning, they work in the fields. In the afternoon, they learn Torah in the Beit Midrash. We have volunteers, we have youth groups that come through here, we have lone soldiers. So the population, what we're feeding in the dining room, three meals a day, runs anywhere between 750 to 800 people.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. And so, but each family has their own house that they live in, or own apartment or whatever,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on how many children you have, you'll get a larger house or a larger apartment, depending on how big the family is?
That way, but in the last few years, they've actually been enlarging everybody's house and making everybody's houses an equal size. So we all have pretty big houses now, at least on an Israeli standard, not on an American standard, but on Israeli standards, we have a very decent house. And the only difference now, I think, is from seven kids and up, you get a little bit more, but not much.
I see. Interesting. And then let's say you want to, I mean, because it's really kind of fascinating. People don't know that much about the kibbutz life. So let's say that you want to take a vacation. So are you allowed to go on?
Yeah, but people ask us that all the time. They're like, can you leave? Can you go away for Shabbos? I'm like, it's not a cult and it's not a prison. And it's a very nice place to live with a great community lifestyle. And if you want to go away for Shabbat, you go away for Shabbat. And if you want to go on a vacation, you have vacation days, just like any other place of employment, and you go on vacation.
And do you have to pay for it yourself, or is it part of the
We get an allowance. We don't get a salary, but we get an allowance. And part of our allowance is also they give us money for vacations, to take time off. And, of course, you don't have to use it on that. You can use it for whatever you want to use it. But most people manage to go away at least once a year and sometimes more for, like, a prolonged vacation. Some people go on several vacations. There's people here who go on a vacation with the whole family, with all the kids, and then they'll take a smaller vacation, you know, just the husband and wife or whatever. No problem.
And how long is the kibbutz now? It's been around for quite a while, right?
Since 1939, yeah.
So you have all ages. And what about when people age in place? What happens to them? Where do they go?
Well, most of them stay home. If they need more care or assistance, we have an assisted living facility for our elderly members.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, that's one of the beautiful things about kibbutz is you're taken care of from cradle to grave, basically.
Right. Interesting. And so as a entrepreneurial kind of kibbutz, assuming the enterprise does well, it bodes well for the people living on the kibbutz, right?
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, we work very, very hard at BioTour, and it's not going in my pocket. It's going to the kibbutz's pocket and furthering the kibbutz. That's part of the idea. And that's fine, you know, because I'm getting other things from the kibbutz in return. That's the way it should be.
Right. Now, did you grow up on the kibbutz or not?
No. You can hear I've got an accent.
Yes, I do.
It's not an Israeli one. I came on Aliyah with my parents when I was in 1978. So I've been in Israel quite a long time, but the accent doesn't fade. And I'm actually what we call it in here, we say I'm a Yerushalmit. You could say I grew up in Jerusalem. My parents still live in Jerusalem.
Okay.
And I came to kibbutz when I got married with my husband.
Okay, very interesting.
I'm new here. I'm only here 24 years.
That's all. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's all. That's all.
Only 24 years. Well, I mean, it sounds like the things that you're doing are so state of the art. I mean, like, you know, this mass producing the earth bumblebee and for pollination. What's on the horizon? Like, what are the new exciting things that you're working on?
Well, some of it's top secret. I can't really tell you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, fine.
But we're always looking for new natural solutions, and hopefully we'll be making some breakthroughs, and then you'll hear all about it.
So really, the idea is to find natural solutions for agriculture so that will be used instead of the chemicals and pesticides and so on. That's wonderful. That really sounds great. So the bio tours. What does it cost, by the way, for a family to come on a tour?
Well, it depends. Like I said, we have what's called a private tour, which
right.
is less than 12 people, and the private tour is 400 shekel for 2 hours.
So. For the group.
For the whole family. Yeah,
right. Okay.
I mean it could be two people, or it could be 10 people. They'll all pay the same price.
I got you. Interesting. And I presume it must be pretty hot there during the summer, right?
Yes, very hot in the summer. If you want to come in the summer, you can come in the summer, but we recommend coming come either early in the morning or late in the afternoon.
Right.
It's a little bit more bearable.
What about now? What about people coming?
Now it's fantastic.
A lot of our people
now
come during
the
what they call it, right, the midwinter vacation in January. So what's it like there?
Yes, if you want to come in the winter to Israel, this is the place to come. It could be cold and freezing in other places, and to here it's just beautiful. So,
and how do you make a reservation? I know you have a www.bio/tour.com. Is that what it is?
Yes, that's our website, and right. making a reservation online. You can send us an email, and
right.
we'll be happy to make a reservation.
Well, it sounds great.
Than calling from the States.
Great. BioTour. It sounds like a fascinating place. And we've been talking to Sarah Goldsmith, who is the tourism manager. And I'm sure you're going to continuously do well. So listen, Hatzlacha to you. Thank you for
Thank
being
you
on
very
the program.
Much.
And I'm sure all the people who are reading the Jewish Action are going to find the article very, very fascinating. I know I did. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Kol tov. Bye.